If you'd like to stand for the reading of the word, I'm going to go right into my lesson this morning. Thank you to all the musicians and singers. Usher us into the presence and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, you've got to have a time where you lay down the spirit of heaviness and pick up the garments of praise. Get your mind and your heart focused on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Genesis 17 and verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old, and 9. Man, I hope I live that long. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Be thou perfect. I want to talk this morning just for a little while about a perfect heart. A perfect heart. It is possible. A perfect heart. Dear Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds and our hearts to understand and give us a desire to live for you above all else. Lord, I'm asking that you touch each and every family that is here this morning. You know the whys. You know what's going on. You know what they are facing. And I'm asking you, Lord, that whatever they're facing, you would give them a perfect heart, that we might walk holy and pure before you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. It is possible to walk before the Lord with a perfect heart. God said to Abraham in our text, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. God also said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord your God. David, King David, determined in his heart to obey this command found in Psalms 101 and verse 2. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Scripture also points out that Solomon fell short of God's command to be perfect. We find in 1 Kings 11, verse 4 and 6, his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. He went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. We see the Lord's command to be perfect in not only the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, it's difficult to be perfect. I dare say there is, and I will say, there is not a perfect person in here. But we can strive to have a perfect heart, a heart after God, a heart after righteousness. No malice or hate or frustration in our heart. No secret agenda in our heart. And we can walk pure and holy. And we can be overcomers by the covering of the blood and the words of our testimony. But we've got to work at having a pure, clean heart. Paul wrote that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Go to Colossians 1 and 28. You're already there. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. That's why it's important for us to be in the house of God, to be fed the word of God and the things of God. We are here just a few hours a week. The majority of your time is at home or work or with family or other activities. We might spend 2 to 4, maybe 5 hours, depending on service, a week in the house of God. It's important. We want to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We've got to have the Word of God in our lives. Yeah, amen. Amen. And in the same letter, you go Colossians 4 and 12, and halfway through there, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Peter said, But the God of all grace, 1 Peter 5 and 10, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You get to a point in life where you've got to make some decisions. Hey, I can't just let everything rattle my boat. I've got to be even keeled, they call it. We used to have anchors on some of the boats that I'd work on. That you'd put out a big boom on either side and they would have an anchor or a weight that would go down in the water and it'd look like a big a plane, you know, almost. And it would hold that boat even keeled in bad weather. And it'd keep it from rocking so much like this. It would even kill it. And sometimes we face situations and we're not too even keeled. We're turning, you know, a sailboat is designed to actually, it can roll all the way over and it will right itself. And sometimes I'm guilty of this. You allow situations and circumstances to get inside your heart and to begin to fester and to begin to boil up, and you hold a grudge and you get an attitude, just to be honest. And you shouldn't. Get rid of that. Let it go. It's no big, there's more important things. Making it to heaven is more important than being mad about something that's going to pass away anyway. We've got to learn and strive to have a pure heart. God, give us a clean heart. A clean heart is like the clothes you're wearing today. It's got to be cleaned. It's got to be washed. It's got to be maintained. You go out and eat and you get a little spot on something, you don't wear it back out until you go clean that spot off. I hope. Maybe you enjoy the heat and you don't sweat at all. God bless you, but I sweat like crazy. And after I'm out in the heat and I'm hot and I'm sweaty, I'm not wearing the same clothes tomorrow that I wore today without them being washed. And my heart is the same way. It's got to be washed with a daily, daily, daily routine and daily structure. God, if there's anything in my life, if there's anything that's got in my heart of bitterness or anger, frustration, God, you wash it, take it away, make it clean all over again. Lord, I want to be righteous. I want to live right. I want to be able to help other people. I want people to see, hey, there's no malice in his heart. There's no anger. He loves everybody. He'll help anybody. He'll touch anybody. Why? Because the presence of God is on his life. And man, I want to strive to be like that person. Amen. Perfection does not mean a sinless, flawless heart. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Man judges by the outward appearance, by what he sees on the outside. But God. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. Doesn't matter if you're short, if you're tall, if you're fat, if you're skinny. Because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Thank God he is the judge. Thank God he looks into our heart. You might fool people around you. You might say all the right things and look the right way, but God's looking at your heart and he knows if it's dirty and black and sinful, and he knows if it has pure intentions or not. The heart is important, not only to sustain your life and pump that blood through your system, but it's got to be pure and clean and holy, the things of God. David was said to have had a perfect heart toward God. He was later years referred to a man after God's own heart. Talk about sweating and I start sweating. Hallelujah. All the days of David's life, he wasn't perfect. He wasn't a goody two-shoes. He wasn't a square. He messed up. He failed the Lord often. His life was marked forever by adultery and a notorious murder that followed. And the basic definition of perfect is completeness or maturity. In the Hebrew or the Greek, the definition includes uprightness, being without spot, without blemish, totally obedient. God, give us a clean, pure heart this morning. It means to finish what was started, a complete performance, constant obedience. A perfect heart is a responsive heart, a responsive heart. You've got to respond. It's the same when you're living for God and you're coming to God and the things of God. As God begins to reveal Himself to you through the Word of God or through Bible study, you can take it all in all you want, but until you respond, until you take a step of faith towards God and the things of God, you'll just continue hearing the Word of God and the things of God. You have got to act on what you hear and what you learn and what God has revealed to you and to your heart. You know, you can run a race, and we can line 4 or 5 people up here and take off. And we would have a short distance, and somebody would win. But when you're in a race for the long haul, and it's not just a short distance, you better prepare. You've got to respond to the challenge of, hey, I've got a race coming up. It's a marathon. I'm fixing to run quite a long ways. And you've got to begin to train and to take steps to make your body able to run in this race, to compete, to win, to make it to the finish line. Bible says, it's not the one that runs the swiftest, nor the one who shines for a day, but he that endureth till the end. In order to endure, you've got to take some steps of preparation beforehand. In order to pass a test, you've got to study beforehand. Most people don't just go and take the test. Now, I will tell you, my sister, Lord bless her, she tells everybody she's smarter than me, and she actually probably is. She's fixing to graduate with a teaching degree. She doesn't even read the curriculum. She doesn't even open a book. She goes and takes the test, top of her class, on the dean's list. She aces everything. She told me that, and showed me that, and I was like, okay, maybe you are smarter than I am. Because I have to study. I have to read. I begin to look at those words, and after about 10, 15, those words start blurring together, and I'm like, wait, that word goes there, and that... It's work for me. It's the same with your heart. For your heart to be pure, you can't just show up on Sunday morning and say, oh, praise God, Brother Baggett, preach me a good one. Brother Chris, preach me a good one. It's the Word of God. Hallelujah. No, there's a prepared approach. That's why the Bible says, lay down the spirit of heaviness. Pick up the guard. You've got to prepare yourself for what's about to happen. You've got to get ready. And we've got to have a pure heart. Perfection is not sinless or not flawed. No, it's not. A perfect heart has to respond. Preaching for many years across the country, out of the country, over every congregation you speak to, you look for people's respond. I'm teaching this more. I understand that, but you watch for a touch and a presence, maybe a tear, maybe a lifting of a hand, maybe somebody is kneeling praying, because they are responding to the presence of God that they are feeling. And there is literally channels that you can go down in every service and kind of change gears and get in the flow of the anointing. Get off of the agenda. Get off of what you think should be done. And follow the moving of the presence of God. I was preaching in a place called Paris, Texas. And there was a young man there by the name of Tommy years ago, back in the 90s. And Tommy had some physical disorders, some mental disorders. But I promise you, in a month of preaching there, before anybody else would move, you would see Tommy with his hands over on the side lifted up, shaking, and he was speaking in tongues and big tears. And every time I recognized it, every time I saw that, in just a few minutes, the presence of God would sweep across that building. And God's Spirit would pour out and people would begin to respond. He was like a fire starter. He was like a conductor. You could just tell, man, the presence of God is here. Can I tell you this morning, the presence of God is here. Get your heart right with God. Let God get up in your business this morning. Let Him touch your life. Let Him touch your heart and your mind. Let Him do things to you that haven't been done in years. Hallelujah. Your heart that is responsive will quickly and totally answer to the Lord's wooings and whisperings and the Lord's warnings. The heart says at all times, "Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Show me the path, and I'm going to walk down it, God. Here I am, God. I'm a willing servant." Perfect heart is searchable. It's searchable. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." You've got to make a choice. You've got to be willing. With a willing mind. "For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will be cast off forever." The perfect heart. The perfect heart is a searchable heart. The scripture says the Lord searcheth all hearts. Heart. The perfect heart cries out with David, as he said in Psalms 139 and verse 23, "Search me, O God, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." God also said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 17 and verse 10, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing." The Hebrew meaning for this phrase is, "I penetrate. I examine deeply." That is what he is saying. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Jesus in Revelation speaks about the depths of Satan and going down into the profound deepness of sin. He was saying that evil goes down deep into the soul and it has its roots that go down and eventually it will end up in hell. David said of the wicked ones in Psalms 64 and verse 6, "They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both inward thought of every one of them, and the heart is deep." The heart is deep. Proverbs 23 and 7, "For a whore is a deep ditch," it says. These passages are all holy warnings that are throughout the scripture, and you don't realize how deeply your association and this association with evil will affect you, but it will. The little things, I'm talking about the things of the heart this morning and having a perfect heart, the little things that you have buried in there, you've held on to for years. The anger, the frustration, the malice, the resentment, the hate, that nobody else sees and you've covered up. it will affect you. It takes you down to the depths of Satan himself, depths that are mysterious, bottomless, profound, and it will eventually lead you to hell. In these final days that we are living in this day and age, sin has become complicated. It's become subtle and sensuous and more sophisticated than it has before. It comes in disguise as art or culture or education. And I believe there are new depths to sin now than more so than ever before. It has taken on stronger and deeper roots than ever before. Our children, your children, are confronted with depths of sin that we never have experienced before and they never know. Isaiah 29:15, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord and their works are in the dark. The perfect hearts wants God to come and search out the depths. God, search out the depths of my heart if there's anything there that's impure, unholy, unclean. I challenge you today. I challenge you to search out your heart for yourself and just ask God, if there's something in there that's holding me back from my full potential to living for you and serving you and reaching the lost, cleanse me right now, God. Make me new all over again. Make me better than I've ever been before, God. Wash me, cleanse me, expose anything and everything that is not like you. People who hide a secret sin, they don't like sermons of conviction or thought-provoking lessons that make you think, what's inside of me? I want to show you something in the Old Testament. The tabernacle, hallelujah, the tabernacle had an outer court where the sacrificial animals were slain. This provided a blood covering for sin. But outside the tabernacle also there was a laver or a basin, a wash basin, where cleansing took place. No priest could ever enter the Holy of Holies and commune with God face to face without being cleansed and making the commitment of the holy place. The gospel, as we hear today in many churches, goes something like this. Well, just go to the altar and by faith trust in the blood shed there. Then just go boldly to the Holy of Holies and everything will be okay. The veil was rent and your daddy loves you. It's all going to be all right. He's waiting there for you. Just live your best life now. There is no conviction or condemnation. There is a lady minister in the state of California. She pastors a church of multiple thousands. And she has openly proclaimed on TV and radio and books, there is no hell. Enjoy life now. Can I tell you, there is a literal hell and a literal heaven. There is a place of suffering and sorrow. There is. We can't just live our best life now. Well, there's no worries, preacher. I'll be all right. It's okay. Don't try to convict me. And those who embrace this thinking believe they can bypass the laver or the wash basin where they have to be washed and cleansed, which for us stands for the washing by the water of the Word of God. Hallelujah. I'm glad.